for Making Waves. I'm Tom Jackson, and today I'm talking with Jackie Ellen Dussault. Jackie was one of 25 Catholic workers who took part in the Witness Against Torture, a 50-mile walk from Santiago, Cuba, to Guantanamo Bay to implore the U.S. military to allow access so they could perform works of mercy and bring comfort to the hundreds of prisoners there, many of whom have been waging hunger strikes. By way of introduction, to give people an idea of some of the details that haven't really gotten out in mainstream media in terms of what's happening with the prisoners in Guantanamo, I'm going to read a little bit from just a few paragraphs from the December 2005 issue of the Catholic Worker newspaper. And this is an article written by Tanya Terrio. In it, she says, "A June-July 2005 hunger strike was made public on July 20th by former Afghan prisoners. According to attorneys from the Washington, D.C.-based firm Shearman and Sterling, which represents 40 prisoners, in addition to, quote, starving until death, close quote, the protesters planned to boycott showers, recreation time, and called for, quote, no violence by hand or even words to anyone, including the guards, close quote. The military acknowledges 52 men were involved in the strike, but lawyers put the numbers closer to 200. While U.S. senators were getting summer show tours of the camp, CCR, which is the Center for Constitutional Rights, reports that close to 50 men were in IV hydration and that, overwhelmed, the medics ceased regular medical visits. The strike ended on July 28th after the prisoners were promised better access to books, bottled drinking water, and a prisoner grievance committee, but the committee was soon after dissolved. In a statement given to his lawyer, Binyam Mohammed, a British prisoner, said, quote, the administration promised that if we gave them 10 days, they would bring the prison into compliance with the Geneva Conventions. It is now August 11th. They have betrayed our trust again. Hisham from Tunisia was savagely beaten in his interrogation, and they publicly desecrated the Quran again. Saeed from Kuwait was ERF'd, which means he was visited by the Extreme Reaction Force, for refusing to go to interrogation because the female interrogator had sexually humiliated him. Therefore, the strike must go on." Close quote. By mid-September of this year, lawyers for the prisoners reported that as many as 210 prisoners, nearly half, were involved in a hunger strike that began in early August. Jackie Ellen Dussault, thank you for taking some time with us this morning, and I'm hoping that you'll pick things up from sometime this fall when perhaps the idea of the 25 or so Catholic workers going down to Cuba first started to come together.
Sure. I had been at a retreat on Labor Day weekend and heard a report, a lot of the material that you had just read, and I know a number of us felt like we had to in some way respond nonviolently to what we were hearing. One of the problems is that our government is doing these things in places where people have no access, not even the United Nations or the Red Cross, and so we felt like just very humbly walking to this place and saying, if you're not torturing people, then please let us in.
And tell us about your experience from when you arrived in Cuba till when you left a day or so ago.
Sure. We just felt very strongly about having this be a pilgrimage or a walk of repentance. So we walked about 10 miles a day, sometimes more, and we tried to eat only once a day. We camped in people's backyards in tents, and we spent a lot of time while we were walking being silent, and when we stopped, we tried to have liturgy every day, and we tried to read some of the accounts that Amnesty International has done on the people that are being held there, the experiences they've had, exactly how their human rights are being violated, what kind of torture methods are being used. And that just kind of put us in a framework where we were able to move all the way from Santiago City to the Cuban checkpoint, where Guantanamo, that area begins.
And once you arrived, you asked to be allowed into the prison. What happened then?
Well, the Cuban government is very alert about anything that might incite the United States military that occupies the end of their country, and they told us, you know, that if the United States called and said that we could be allowed through, that they would open their checkpoints and we would be able to go. So at that point, we began fasting, we set up our tent encampment right there at the gate, and we began calling the base to ask for access.
And their response was?
We were hung up on for the most part.
Really?
And they were absolutely unwilling to let us in. Much like they've been unwilling to let in the Red Cross and you know, the United Nations just canceled the tour they were supposed to have because they were not given full access.
And so the group then, what did you do then when you were refused access?
We just continued to fast and pray and try to be present there and try to speak to the media and try to speak to supporters and friends to put pressure on the government to let us in.
Tell us in a little more detail, what were your plans if you had been let in? What did you hope to achieve?
Well, I think we wanted to really be able to do the work of mercy of visiting the imprisoned. I mean, when people are on a hunger strike and fasting to the death, it's a cry for help and a cry for mercy. You know, they have no other way to express or communicate the absolute horror of the hell that they've been living in. And it's a situation that has no conceivable end. Because they're being denied due process, it's not like they're being accused of a charge and then tried and then... I mean, this is like, some of them have been told, don't ever plan to get out of here. Don't ever have hope for anything. So we really wanted to let them know there are American people who are committed to human rights, who are committed to the Geneva Conventions, and who are committed to making sure that, you know, illegal, immoral acts are not being committed by our government with our tax dollars and in our name. And we hoped that that would give them hope, and we really hoped that it would help to begin a movement for the abolition of torture.
Talking with Jackie Ellen Dussault, who was one of 25 Catholic workers who took part in the Witness Against Torture. She's just back from Cuba. Jackie, share some of your thoughts that you've had since your return, reflecting on what happened. Where have your thoughts gone from there?
Well, I had to come home 2 days before everyone else because our community has a Christmas party for 200 kids in our family, in our neighborhood, and kids in our tutoring program. So I kind of landed and had to be on the run, and it's been really challenging to sort of be busy every moment doing the work of the community and also to be so mindful of what it's like for the people that are still stuck in these hidden places. So I've really been reflecting on the fact that, you know, all of us do that. We separate our regular, normal lives with our children and school and work and cooking dinner and chores, and we separate that from the reality that the money we pay for taxes is torturing people. And I think because of the intense situation of being in the walk and fasting and praying every day and having this, you know, tiny amount of grace that allowed us to feel somewhat in solidarity with the suffering going on and be more mindful of it, that sort of split has been very clear to me since I got home. And I think most Americans, we have that split all the time. We're just not aware of it. You know, we really separate what's being done supposedly for the war on terror and in our name from our daily lives. I'd like to think that most people find torture horrible, and I'd like to think that all good people believe everyone deserves human rights regardless of what they've done. I mean, that's sort of a basic moral premise that we hold, and we're supposed to be good Americans, we're supposed to be about democracy. So I think for me it's been really hard to realize that all of us walk around with that split, and we never really have to make ourselves think about, you know, the people that are dying and being tortured and suffering every day. So for me, that's been kind of a heavy thing to walk around with.
Well, it's definitely a brave thing that all of you got together and did. There's probably some listeners who are wondering if you have any concerns about repercussions from the U.S. government for going to Cuba.
I guess personally I don't, because I feel like, you know, we acted under international law. We acted under upholding the Constitution. You know, the Constitution tells us that laws that you know, the Geneva Conventions and international principles that outlaw torture and that, you know, curtail human rights are, you know, those are binding on us as individual citizens. So if we were ever charged and there was a trial, we would very much look forward to facing the United States government and calling them on the carpet for human rights violations. I mean, people in our government have been acting like war criminals. So I think most of us would look forward to the opportunity to be able to address that. Yesterday I read a report, the State Department made a statement about how dare we be in Cuba and not address them about their human rights violations with prisoners, and I thought, my God, the hypocrisy of that. This is what we're trying to say. How could we possibly address Cuban human rights violations when our country, our government is torturing people on their soil? So what happens is, because of the behaviors of our government in these places, we have no standing anywhere to speak about human rights, to speak about human dignity anymore.
The Witness Against Torture campaign, even though people have come home or started to head home, that campaign is by no means over, correct?
Right.
What happens next?
We certainly hope it's the, you know, a pebble in the pond and that the ripples keep going on and on.
There's a website, I believe, with some blogs and so on linked to it.
Photographs and reflections people have written, audio blogs. Also, a lot of really good links. I would encourage all the listeners go to Amnesty International and read the accounts lawyers have taken from people being held. You'll be absolutely horrified. And there's no way you can read those things and not do something about it. So the website is www.witnesstorture.org.
And you've actually started to answer my last question here, which was, what would you suggest that concerned people might do, particularly those who might not be in a place where they're ready to go to Cuba or something like that?
Right. I mean, we certainly wouldn't expect everyone to be ready to do that, but everyone can do something. And clearly, whatever people are doing now is not enough. So I would say, if you've never written a letter to your representatives, write the letter. If you've never been to a candlelight vigil, go to a candlelight vigil. Think about withholding a part of your tax dollars and saying, I refuse to pay for torture. I think there's a lot of things to do, and if you go to the website, there's ideas for things, too. And look for other people that want to do something about torture. That's the other, I mean, this is part of a community-building thing where we really want to reach out and build and organize groups and communities that want to make sure this doesn't continue to happen. Because it's really not enough to say, well, I don't believe in torture. It's already too late for that because our country is torturing people with our tax dollars and in our name.
Jackie Ellen Dussault took part in the Witness Against Torture. She was one of 25 Catholic workers who went to Guantanamo Bay in Cuba to try to get access to see the conditions that the prisoners were in and perform works of mercy. And they were refused. She's just back from Cuba. And she also runs, along with her husband, Chris Ellen Dussault, the St. Martin de Porres Catholic Worker Community in Hartford, Connecticut. Jackie, thank you very much for being with us today.
And thank you for having me.